Christ is risen. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever encountered a person that annoyed you, who wouldn't stop talking about his pet topic? Whether it's the local sporting team, whether it's the weather, whether it's corn prices, whether it's his car, or his aches and pains. We've all encountered that person that just won't stop talking about that thing. And he drives you crazy. But there's one instance when that is not so bad. In today's first reading, we hear how the apostles greatly annoyed the Sadducees and the leaders of the Jews. And what were they doing that was so annoying? They were preaching the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. They wouldn't stop. They had told them again and again. They had threatened to punish them, even to crucify them as they had crucified their Lord. Just a few chapters later in the book of Acts, we read that St. Stephen became the first martyr because he wouldn't stop talking about Jesus. So they were arrested. They were treated badly. Throughout the history of the church, this is what happens to those who speak about Jesus. Of the apostles, only one was not martyred. St. Peter was crucified upside down. St. Thomas was flayed alive. St. Paul was beheaded. And so on it goes. Except for St. John, who was exiled to the island of Patmos and brought back in his old age so that he could watch his friends and loved ones die. And this is not simply a matter of the distant past. In the news in the last few months, have the 21 Coptic Christians who were killed for their faith, who have already been canonized by the Coptic Church in Egypt. Just this last week, 30 Ethiopians were captured in Libya. Half of them were beheaded. Half of them were shot for speaking about Jesus and for refusing to embrace Islam. They annoyed and irritated and aggravated and angered those who captured them because they would not stop talking about Jesus. They would not recant their faith, even to the point of death. The video of these executions shows that even at the moment of their death, they cried out, "Jesus, help us." And yet sometimes we in this country get perturbed when people don't like us. Fall prey to the temptation to fall silent, to put the gospel of Jesus Christ on a shelf when it's uncomfortable to speak about, when it seems divisive. Popular opinion, the ever-changing breeze, blows from one place to the next, and it's all too easy to let ourselves be blown along with it. The scandal of the cross is just that, a scandal, a stumbling block. It divides people. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing even joint from joint, bone from marrow. Certainly dividing friends, dividing family. dividing our society between those who know the joy and comfort of our Lord Jesus Christ and those who look elsewhere. And those who look elsewhere, who are swayed by the devil's lies, are annoyed by our preaching, by the message of Jesus Christ. People don't like to be told about sin. Maybe you can acknowledge that you have sinned, that there are problems in your life that you need that need to be changed. Maybe you'd go that far. But really, in our society, really the only sin left is intolerance or meddling in someone else's affairs. To have someone proclaim to you that there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved than the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. To be told that you shall have no other gods. This is offensive. This is a scandal. This annoys people. And why shouldn't it? Because if you don't have sin, if merely you just have a few moral flaws that you can correct through positive thinking or good speaking or whatever else, then you don't need Jesus. You don't need God who became man. You don't need the child born of the Blessed Virgin. You don't need the one who suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. You certainly don't need the God-man who was raised from the dead on the third day and who displayed his glory to the apostles and who proclaims the forgiveness of sins to you. Because if you don't have any sins, you don't need to be forgiven. And so, we see this in this exchange between Peter and the apostles and the Sadducees. They were greatly annoyed at the preaching of the gospel, and they wanted them to stop. But as Jesus points out, this Jesus, whom you crucified, has done this. This Jesus has healed this man. This Jesus has healed you. This Jesus, whom you crucified, has risen again and forgives your sins. Forgives your sins by this same death to which you put him, but from which God raised him from the dead. This Jesus, whom you crucified, is not dead, but he is risen. And he lives and reigns to all eternity. And he alone has the power over death and life. And so, just as he healed this man by the speaking of St. Peter, so does he forgive your sins by that same speaking. By the apostolic word, which proclaims to you, your sins are forgiven. Your baptism has washed you clean and made you whole. St. John says to us, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. St. John's epistle speaks a great deal about love. Here he tells us to love in deed. And what deed is that? In what deed do we love our neighbors? the only deed that counts by which we learn to love is Jesus' most holy death and resurrection. Because in this, we learn the love of God, because that love becomes for you. In this, God loved you such that he sent his only begotten Son to die for you and raised him from the dead to proclaim that your sins are forgiven, your death is conquered, your guilt is taken away. This is the love by which we learn to love others. Let us love in deed and in truth. What truth? The truth of the one who is truth, the truth of Christ crucified and risen for us men and for our salvation. This is why Jesus says, "The Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again." The Father loves his Son because his Son is obedient even unto death. And so, because the Father and the Son share in this most perfect love, they share it with you by the power of the Holy Spirit. As that love is poured out on you, the fruit of the redemption accomplished on the cross is given to you, that you may know the love of God, and knowing the love of God, you may learn to love your neighbor. And how do you love your neighbor? First, you confess Christ crucified. You confess that Jesus is Lord, that this Jesus whom you crucified by your sins and transgressions, he is the Savior of all, and there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Confess, and then live in this love. Live in the love which God has poured out for you, and which he commands you to reflect to your neighbor. Love your neighbor because Christ has first loved you and given himself up for you. God is greater than your heart. He loves you. He loved you even when you did not love him, when you despised him and his word. He loved you and sent his Son to die for you. He sent his minister pour the waters of baptism over your head, to wash you clean in body and soul. He sends his word, the living voice of Jesus, to overcome the condemnation in your heart, to proclaim to you that your sin is forgiven, that your guilt is taken away. Your heart lies to you, but God does not. Maybe you will annoy people with the gospel. But keep talking about Christ. For it's been said that there is nothing more hateful, no act more hateful to your neighbor than to not share Christ. Love your neighbor in Christ. Serve your neighbor with the love which Christ has poured out for you. Keep talking about Christ. Keep living in Christ. Because Christ has died for you, and he has died for your neighbor. Keep annoying people, if that's what the gospel does. And that's what St. Paul promises it will do. Keep speaking of Jesus. Keep sharing the love of God with your neighbor. And who knows what will happen? Maybe, like those in North Africa, you might be shot or beheaded. But then what? Then you meet Jesus. They can harm us none. The victory has been won. Then your prayer, deliver us from evil, will have come true, because our Lord will deliver you from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. Then you will eat his feast in the table he has set before you in the presence of your enemies, and you will hunger no more. So keep annoying people. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Christ is risen. Alleluia.